The question is, can we see our lives as something useful and beautiful? The prophet Jeremiah did, and he wrote about it in one of the most imaginative pieces of all of prophecy. You're listening to Longitude. It's Saturday, October 1st, 2005. I'm Darris McNeely. I began several months ago a series called The Heart of a Prophet. I resumed that series this morning with another look at the prophet Jeremiah and a very important episode from his life. I want to take us to the 18th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Here we have one of the most beautiful pictures that Jeremiah drew, among the many beautiful pictures throughout all of his sermons in the book that bears his name. But here we find that Jeremiah is sent to a very interesting place in a city, the potter's shed, by God, to understand something about how God works with mankind, how God is working in your life and in mine. Turn, if you will, over to the 18th chapter of Jeremiah, and let's begin in verse 1. Let's look at Jeremiah's visit to the pottery shed. Beginning in verse 1, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. So here we find Jeremiah being told to go down to what in his day was a very common place, a very busy and active place of intercourse of the daily activity of the life of his city, the potter's shed, the potter's barn. You know, we have stores by that name today called the Pottery Barn and other places, and they're still quite popular in one sense, although pottery has evolved into different uses than it was during the time of Jeremiah. Pottery is both useful and beautiful. In Jeremiah's day, in that world, pottery was something that carried water for the daily needs of the house. It stored grain, corn, wheat, other grains that fed the people. It was something that really advanced civilization when whoever it was took that first lump of clay and formed it into something that could hold and carry water or corn for several, you know, miles and from the river or from the well to the house and preserve something and keep it in the household for several days. Before then, people just could had what they could carry perhaps in their shirt or their tunic or in their hands for the immediate needs. But when pottery was developed, and archaeologists who study this understand that this is a major way to help to understand major shifts in the ancient civilizations as they dig through the accumulated debris and various archaeological finds, they date and they set the time periods by the type of pottery that people are using. But it was a major advance in civilization. Now, in Jeremiah's time, it was also something that was very artistic. Pots were made in various shapes and forms and heights and widths. They had different designs upon them, depending upon the eye of the individual potter who shaped that piece. So they were both something that was useful, that was practical, that carried things, that stored things, but it was also something that was very beautiful. Not a piece of pottery was made during that time that did not have some beauty to it. And so here's Jeremiah standing in the potter's house, and he's watching this pottery being made, and he himself had an artist's eye. Jeremiah, probably more than any of the other prophets of the Old Testament, had an artist's eye and imagination. He could see an object of the everyday life, and he could make a connection of that object to God's plan. He could help people see the divine purpose of the everyday, and that's something that a good artist does. A good artist can connect the visible with the invisible. He makes the concrete essential truths that most of us are too distracted to see, he makes them come alive by his work, by what he paints, by what he produces that we call art. Pottery is and was a work of art. And Jeremiah had this ability, which every good artist does, of being able to take something that is invisible, a concept, and make it seen, make it visible to the human eye, and to the human mind. And that's how what he's doing in this particular sermon message that he's given. Jeremiah could see the plan of God. He could see what God was doing in this world, and he could translate that into a tangible image that everyone could understand, that of a piece of pottery. And they could see that. That was something that everybody had in their homes, and they would understand the connection, and they would see the point of Jeremiah's message. Now, God sent him down to the potter's shed. He sent him out into the streets to observe life. The challenge was for Jeremiah to get people to understand that what they were doing in their life, the everyday decisions that they made, impacted their life then, a year later, 5 years later, or 10 years down the road. In the same way, you and I need to stop and look at what we do, the decisions we make every day in our life, and stop and look at what we do and ask, is this decision that I'm making about my life, in my life, or those that are in my care, is this decision advancing the work of God, the work of the kingdom of God? Is this building godly character in this life? Is this decision helping my family and helping my future? Those are some important questions that every one of us need to understand and to ask as we make the everyday decisions that go up to build and to shape our lives and our future. So Jeremiah, here in chapter 18, went down to the potter's house, and what he saw, he turned into a sermon. What he saw was a man shaping a piece of clay, of earth and water mixed together, plopped down on this wheel that was turning and turning, and as it turned with his hands, he formed and shaped this into a beautiful bowl or a plate or a vase or a large container that would be something useful to hold something of everyday life. But he was shaping something that was both, as I said, useful and beautiful. And that is exactly the picture we have of what God is doing in our life. God is shaping us into something useful and beautiful and practical and important in his mind's eye for his plan. We find in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, that we are made in the image of God. Man was shaped out of the dust of the earth, out of the clay of beside that riverbank and that garden in Eden, and shaped and formed into a man and into a woman. We were made in the image of God. We're told also later in Scripture that God is in the process of bringing many sons to glory. Every life that God has shaped and formed through the human creation, every life has meaning and it has purpose. And that's something we must understand. No matter what we've been taught, no matter how we've been trained or treated in our life, every life has meaning in the eyes of God. It is very precious. It has purpose. We have that opportunity, if we come to grasp and understand, to be made into the image of God and to be able to walk and stand before him in that way. Now, let's go back here to this message of Jeremiah, because let's pick it up in verse 4, because he then saw how this shaping and forming can sometimes take various turns. Verse 4 says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, and it seemed good to the potter to make." And so, just as every life has some flaws, we make mistakes, we sin, we make transgressions, we let our own self-will get ourselves carried away, and we drift further away from the will of God, we have imperfections. And sin and self-will comes in. We wander away from the plan and the purpose God's making out with us. But you know what? The work can start over. Because if the piece of clay became marred in the hand of the potter, then he could make it, he could start all over again, add a little bit of water and start the whole process over. And that was part of what the potter was doing. That's part of what God is doing. We have our imperfections, and sometimes we sin, but God can shape and mold us into something else, and we can come out of that and still be in his hand, something that is being formed and shaped as a useful vessel for his purpose and his plan. Now, we go on here in Jeremiah. Let's go back and see what else he says. Because in verse 6, God says, "O house of Israel," as he begins to draw this lesson together through Jeremiah, "can I not do with you as this potter? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up or to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I've spoken turns from its evil, I'll relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it." And so we see here a message of both hope and warning. There is hope in the message of what God can do with us and for us. We see God's hand in our life, and we see that even when we make mistakes, God can continue to reform and reshape us and work over as long as we are malleable and yielding in his hands, in other words, as long as we repent. There's also warning in this message of what will happen if we don't yield to the hand of the potter. It's in the hope of the people hearing a warning of changing that Jeremiah continues on. You see, he heard this message from God. He saw the work of a potter with a piece of clay, and he saw that even when there was an imperfection in the clay, that the work started over, that it wasn't finished. And he related that message to his own people, to Israel, who had started out as a work being formed and shaped in God's hands as his chosen people, as his nation. But they had sinned. And yet God was sending Jeremiah, as he had sent other prophets and would send more, to the nation to give them a message of warning that if they repented, if they would change, they could still become vessels in his hand that would glorify him and show his purpose to the world. They could, there was hope in that, but they had to change. And that gave Jeremiah hope, because he had to continue on with that message against a great deal of opposition. And that's really what is at the heart of every prophet, not just Jeremiah, and really every true minister of God who works among the fields of God's harvest today. There is that hope of people who will hear a message, hear a warning message, and change and repent and turn their life around. It's in that hope that this work we are carrying forth, that you're listening to on this podcast and as a part of this larger effort that is part of what we know is and call the United Church of God, but is much more than just a small group or a denomination. It's a part of a larger work that God has been doing for many, many years and is continuing on, and a work that is going to grow ultimately into the future into something much larger than any of us can really imagine. But it's in that hope that we carry on, that with the hope that you and many others will examine your life against the truth of the Scriptures, will repent, and will turn to God in submission to him and to his ways. That's the hope that I have as a minister working in this ministry, which is carrying on really in the spirit of Jeremiah, that you will hear, you will listen and understand, and you will make a change. Because we are all being formed and shaped in God's hands into something that is both useful and beautiful. We can yield to God, we can let him shape our lives into something that is practical and helpful for us, for his purpose, and to advance the work of the kingdom of God. We can indeed be those vessels of honor. The choice is up to us. I hope you'll keep listening to these podcasts. We'll continue on in the series of Jeremiah, The Heart of a Prophet, and go a little bit deeper into some of the stories of his life that helps us understand our work and our message today. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.